I have the big idea. An idea that could be good for us, but one that, miraculously, hurts no one else. Because ideas often do, don't they? Hurt people, I mean. And it's just taking vague shape when Sarah appears, red hair excitingly disordered, the constellations of freckles standing out against the Celtic pale of her skin. Skin made still more ghostly by her being abruptly shaken from sleep. She is Celtic-eyed too, and right now her sharp blue stare flashes dangerous flames as she stumbles in, wondering what exactly I think I'm doing. We have a child trying to sleep upstairs, and what is this dreadful churchy music anyway? And I'm too dazed to say anything, so I put my finger to my lips, and I take her by the hand and show her Russell on the floor of the bathroom. And when she runs for her phone to call 911, I follow and spill out my idea to her hunched and hurrying dressing-gowned back. It's important that you know this about Sarah. She's not just loyal and kind-hearted. She's also almost pathologically law-abiding. Even getting a parking ticket or a library fine panics her. Uniquely among the people I know, she never had a shoplifting phase as a kid. She's never even nicked pens or stationery from work. Never jumped a red light. Never dropped a sweetie wrapper in the park. She claims she never even tried to buy booze or fags underage. She's a phenomenon. So when I explain my idea, I guess I'm almost certain that she'll reject it out of hand. In fact, if I genuinely thought she'd go for it, I probably would never have said it. Does that make sense? I think at this stage, it is just a theoretical plan, an abstract thing, a phantasm conjured by grief and whiskey. And cellos. Don't forget those cellos. She stops. She turns around. Those eyes as blue and as wide as the bay itself. What? What did you just say? Nothing. Just an idea. Forget it. But she makes me say it all again. Slowly. And I do. And this time, it doesn't sound like a big idea. It sounds a bit rubbish. Deep breath. It doesn't have to be Russell there, dead in the bathroom. It could be me. This story doesn't have to be rich bloke collapses in his toilet. Instead, it could so easily be the story of an old friend flown over with his family by his generous buddy. An old friend who then, tragically, collapses and dies in a foreign land. A simple story and a beautifully sad one. And it has a kind of truth, too. It's more truthful in a way. It should have been me, not him. It makes more sense that way. She says nothing. Looks at me agog, scared looking. I'm in too deep to stop now. I'm aware that what I'm saying is outrageous, wrong on so many levels. But still, on I go. We have all the passwords, and we have the passports, the utility bills, and all the other necessary chip and pin fabric of a life. Two lives. And wasn't Russell planning to vanish anyway? And he's dead. That's nature. It's not like we killed him. And our life? Due for taking to the recycling centre. It's a basement life, full of damp plans and mottled schemes. It's a rusty, grimy, grubby life that needs disinfecting, spring cleaning, converting into something useful. And you, Sarah, you've been saying that for years. And we have our girl to think of now too, don't we? And we won't have been the first to do this. If you can imagine it, then someone has done it. That's something my dad always used to say. One of his many wise observations, along with never a borrower or a lender be, and early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy and wise. I think Sarah's going to slap me. I even flinch as she raises her hands, but she puts her arms around me. She's warm, and the dressing gown smells of biscuits and sleep. She kisses me full on the lips. She pulls back, looks me right in the eyes. I can see all the freckles around her perfect nose, across her forehead, her cheeks, her neck. My father used to call her the dot-to-dot girl. Now that is sort of genius, she breathes. It really is.